If this podcast, which is called Geekcast Live, had a vibe, it would be that picture of Paul Newman in the shirt that says, "Get real stoned and drink wet cement."
It's a trap!
Everybody, welcome to episode 485 of the Geekcast. I'm your host, GCR, and with me, as always,
Rob Bass
and Cartoon Joe.
I want the world, and by the world I mean our four listeners, to hear me when I say thank you to my co-hosts. This is our second time trying to record this episode. We sat down last night to record it, and I had just an incubus of tech issues. And
nice use of incubus.
Thank you. It held me down and fucked me until I died.
Yeah, 100%.
I immediately went to like the, how would you describe them? Like an alt rock band from the like early aughts.
Yeah.
That was
fair enough.
Okay. So like, I don't know. I thought you were going with the thing there. I was trying to piece together like, what in the fuck? Like, I can't think of a single song from Incubus that is relatable to this moment.
The tech issues took the wheel and drove, I think is a thing that you would say.
Sure. You displeased the machine spirits.
Saw them in concert in Iowa. Long time ago, early aughts, as you say.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Very fantastic concert.
Fucking love to see Incubus live.
One of the first 25 times I was stoned was at an Incubus concert. One of the first 25 times.
Nice.
Yeah. Honestly, and those are the most precious 25, I've always said.
Some older guy sparked up right here by my ear. And I kind of did like a hey, and he said he took a drag and said like, "Oh, my bad, man." And he did like the here's your lips end. And I was like, "Oh, cool." And I went to give it back, and he's like, "Hey, what?
That one's yours."
He's like, "All you." And I was like, "Fucking
hell, yeah,
Iowa, man."
Back in the before times when touching a stranger's lips wasn't dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, I miss music festivals in the before, times. Yeah,
it was, before you showed up like a Leslie Nielsen condom joke.
Yeah. Oh man, it was a different time. Just like hitting random people's ray guns at like 4 o'clock in the morning, having no idea, like zero idea what could possibly be inside of this ray gun.
Even you know that they've got some. I'm sorry, even something as simple as like, oh, you got like a beer funnel? Sure. This is not my house party, but yeah, of course. Yeah. Or yeah, I'll just put my mouth on the keg gun.
Sure. Yeah.
The before times. The before times when I'm struggling badly to make some sort of boomer type, we didn't have peanut allergies back then joke, and it just I didn't have it.
Didn't have COVID back then. Well, you know, back there is that
I didn't
back when we didn't mask and we fucked uphill both ways.
Right. Yeah. the good old days.
So anyway, thank you for coming back on night two. Unfortunately, that did mean we lost Nick, but he's
out trying to find a bird.
He's out being a good fucking dad or something.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
Jesus. Like it's wrong to turn out like Rob or me.
Like he looks at you guys once a week and says, like, I'm going to really buckle down and be a good
dad. You know what? I'm going to that basketball game this week.
I'm going to be at practice.
The cats in the cradle and
the game. And I love that song. It makes me cry.
I'm actually glad he's not here because I do have a pitch I have to make to him.
Oh, I thought
now he can't tell you no verbally.
Mad shit.
Now he can't like I get to get my sales pitch out and I get to have you two I almost guarantee affirm my pitch without any pushback at all on air. And I know he listens to every show, whether he's on it or not, because he's a narcissist. And so yeah, we get to do that at the end of the show. I think it's a good, I think it's going to be a good way to end the show for me. It's part of what I'm geeking on. So I figured
that's nice.
I'm intrigued. I feel like you've been hyping this up for a little bit, and I've been kind of interested in taking a peek. I've been in the middle of going through some stuff at book wise and show wise here lately. So I feel like my pop culture plate has been, or like time at the very least, has been pretty well filled with a bunch of weird shit. But, yeah. Which I'm sure I would like to get into at some point, like this episode. But yeah, we can.
Well, the best thing about this
episode, upward.
It's our scheduled banter episode, because we have this new format for our show. Wherein we schedule bullshit episodes, because not every week has like a fucking thing to talk about.
Right.
And we end up like texting each other the morning of the show going, so
what Marvel news has dropped?
right.
Who read Screen Rant today?
Like, yeah. I mean, we could talk about like baseball, but
tangentially related.
I did.
Suppose that's going on. I know Joe is wanting to talk about that a little bit. Was there
anything
that was interesting happening in the world of baseball?
So I don't know how recent the news is, but on this freaking show this week, Travis brought this to my attention, and it blows my mind that Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Dodgers got a contract where he gets paid like $1 million a year for 10 years and then like $69 million a year for the rest of his life or some shit.
Pretty much. It's a huge.
It's like a $700 million contract, and he only has to play for the Dodgers for 10 years.
It's a huge deferred contract. Yeah.
It's incredible. On top of that, it's like a big deal that he, you know, your first home run in the majors, huge deal, totally whatever. But some lady caught it, and then like the Dodgers Association like pressured her in like a closed room to give up the ball. And they gave her like two hats, a T-shirt, and a baseball bat for it.
Yeah, so
that seems undersold.
I have comments and thoughts.
Yeah.
Go on.
Comment one is the deferred contract thing isn't new. It's just that it's a lot.
Right.
Like I'm sure you've heard of like Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
That's where the Mets pay Bobby Bonilla like $1.7 million because he deferred his contract over 30 years or whatever.
Right.
There's a ton of guys that are still there's a pitcher for the Texas Rangers who's being paid by the Texas Rangers and four other teams because contracts are deferred. And so he gets paid into he can retire at any time and know that he's set for the next 30 years or whatever. It was Ohtani's first home run as a Dodger.
That's right. Sorry.
And I'm trying to put myself in a position to see like, I read that story.
Yeah.
How do the Dodgers aren't the FBI. It's not like the Dodgers are even a police officer. So just some guy from the
Dodgers. It was the Dodgers security team.
Shook you down.
Like,
yeah.
Go to fucking hell. You ain't getting, no, I ain't giving you my baseball.
I know my rights.
I get probably,
the fuck out of my face.
I believe in like, if like me as an adult, if I catch a foul ball, I give it to a kid. I catch a home run ball, I give it to a kid.
Sure.
If it's we went to the Cubs Dodgers game, last Sunday, and, specifically because the draw was it's a Cubs game and I got to go with my dad and my son. So there's three generations.
Oh, ago. Nice. Yeah.
And
you gotta go.
And Uncle Todd invited us out. And so we got to hang out with Uncle Todd for a while. And, but really it was, I got to see Shohei Ohtani play. So I'll always be able to say, I saw Shohei Ohtani. I saw Shota Imanaga strike out Shohei Ohtani. And that was awesome.
Nice. That's fantastic.
But there's always this possibility that Shohei Ohtani hits a home run and you catch it.
Right.
So we were talking about it. You know, what do you do? And Michael Todd said, I keep it. And I sell it for whatever. I mean, someone will buy it for some amount of money and whatever that is. I immediately sell it.
His foul balls, by the way, were selling for $15,000.
Right.
at auction.
God.
So at Cubs games, though, when the opposing team hits a ball into the bleachers, you throw the ball back.
Right.
It's the only thing on any field in baseball that you're allowed to throw onto the field without being immediately removed from the game and banned for life. If you throw a beer bottle on the field and you get caught, you're done, man. Enjoy your last Cubs game. You're not allowed back. If you throw a opposing team's baseball onto the field, they don't even look at you funny. It's expected. So then the question becomes, if Shohei Ohtani hits a home run and lands in your hand, knowing that if you keep it, Shohei would probably buy his first home run he ever hit at Wrigley Field.
Right.
But as a Cubs fan, the right thing to do is to immediately throw that try to hit him as he rounds second base with the baseball.
It's times like these, I'm really glad that I have no ties to your no moral qualms.
Your
team allegiances.
My answer was I throw it back. Maybe I could have got 25 GER for it. Maybe right. I could have just got a signed Shohei Ohtani jersey or some shit.
Sure.
But I would be able to have said, yeah, I caught Shohei's first home run ball at Wrigley and I threw it back. I could never live with myself.
Yeah, the story is worth
I couldn't maybe live with myself as much. If I kept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really envy you guys. I would take the sack of galleons every.
Oh, I don't know what I would do.
Every single fucking Slytherin. Time.
Yeah. I admire both. Well, I think they're both great.
That's like the final question on the old Flash fucking.
Yeah. Do you keep the sack of galleons or do you give invest it back?
Do you return it? Do you not even pick it up? I don't think any of the other questions matter. That last question, Slytherin.
Yeah. I consume it to gain its power.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I do like. Yeah. I will say I'm happy you're experiencing baseball and paying attention, trying to tune in. I think you'd like it.
Yeah,
you're an oddities guy, and there's no sport that has more oddities.
It is
than ever. It's the most rule laden. It's got the most unwritten rules. Of any sport I can think of. Mm-hmm. Weird like home field advantages that other places don't have. Wrigley Field, like it's got the ivy on the walls, and if the ball gets lodged in the ivy and you reach in for it and you can't get it because it's like in 10 inches of thick thorny ivy, mm-hmm. if you reach for it, it's a live ball, and until you pull it out they keep running the bases.
Oh, so you got to choose. Can you get it fast enough to stop it?
Or if you just throw your hands up, you tell them, hey, I'm giving up on it. And it's an automatic, it's a ground rule double. So if it would have been a single, you get to go to second. If you're at second when they give up on it, you get to move on. It's there's ladders at different ballparks that are on the fence. And if it hits the ladder, it's not a home run. Hmm. There's also
fascinating.
I think
legitimately fascinating. Sometimes I sound sarcastic.
Start looking at the stats or some of the records that baseball is, you know, when stuff like Greg Maddux only walked like 103 people in his career. He's won 300 games.
Wow.
How much would hypothetically like the average pitcher you like say walk a person in their career?
Well, so
like what is there like a frame of reference that you might be able to give to somebody who has
average walks per game? Average walks per game in Major League Baseball just this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are leading the pack with 5 walks per game.
And how many games hypothetically in a season?
162 games in a season.
162. So 162 times 5 is going to be 810. And then how many seasons would you say like the average pitcher has over the course of their life?
Let's just, even if you said 13 years.
Okay. So holy God, that's all right. So hypothetically, if we were just using those, like just those averages, that's like 10,530.
Yeah.
Well, that's now, if they pitch the entire game.
That's assuming
every game.
Right. Sure. And that they're also getting five walks every game, which is
generally
extreme.
Generally pitch rotations are five people. So you pitch a fifth of the season. So a fifth of 162. I have the actual stat for you.
Sure. What is it?
So Greg Maddux faced 20,421 batters during his career.
Oh, my God.
So to get a walk, it's four balls. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 20,421 batters, only 310 of them saw a 3-0 count, meaning they saw it. They had three balls and no strikes. 177 of those 310 were intentional walks.
Mm.
So he only, of the 20,000 batters he faced, he walked 133 of them.
Wow.
The rest he either struck out or they hit the ball.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of stats. Like the guy who stole the most amount of bases, it ends up being like, if you take them, like just the mileage of like how many, like the distance between first and second base, second and third base, third and home, the mileage that he's ran to the moon and back twice or some shit in stolen bases. And it sounds
amazing.
Like, it sounds like a number that you can't quantify, but that's why it's like it's fucking like an extreme fucking thing. And I think that was hyperbole, but it's something like, he's stolen enough bases that if you were to walk that distance, you'd circumnavigate the globe or something like that. In Barry Bonds' 1998 season, if he didn't use a bat, he still would have had the best batting average or on base percentage in the league if he didn't use a bat.
Holy crap. Because
they were so afraid to pitch to him. He got intentional walks with the bases loaded because they didn't want him to hit the ball because he hit everything. It's an odd sport. And the more you dug into it, Joe, you could probably write a book of like a guy who doesn't know anything about baseball, learned about baseball this year. And this is my story. And you'd be on ESPN.
I am now going to stop learning about baseball so that I can do that. Cause that sounds like a lot of fun. Actually,
is Ricky Henderson the person?
Ricky Henderson.
Holy God. The like disparity in numbers between him and anybody else. That I've just looked up here for like stolen bases and stolen bases attempts is insane. 1,406 for Ricky Henderson in terms of stolen bases. The next one is 938.
Say that again. Say those numbers again.
So stolen bases for Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
1,406. Number two is Lou Brock. At 938.
Incredible. So almost 500 more.
Yeah, almost 500 more than the next person down.
That's incredible.
Yeah, with Ricky Henderson attempting 1,741 times, which is still about 500 more than Lou Brock. That's shit wild.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Cool. Yeah. By the way, I was thinking about like what would stop you from just walking out. So one of the things that stopped her from just walking out was that in order for her to sell that ball as Shohei's first, is he frozen?
No.
Okay. You were holding very still.
Sorry.
It's okay. As his first home run, the MLB has to certify it.
And they were refusing.
And they were refusing to certify it if she didn't comply with the things that they wanted. Like if they couldn't work out a deal, they would have been like, okay, then, well, good luck selling it because it's not going to be certified.
In the day of social media,
I
grabbed my phone and I went live on Facebook. And I said, hi, I'm in the basement of Dodger Stadium here in Los Angeles. Yep. And this is Shohei's home run ball. And this is officer security guard Mathis. Yeah.
This is Rent-A-Cop Dave.
Could you repeat what you told me about not verifying this because you're trying to shake me down because you don't want to give me anything for it or let me leave without a verified ball? Say it again, would you?
Yeah.
I don't believe I cannot. I understand.
There were like so many layers to the story of like they took her purse so she didn't have her phone with her and separated her from her husband and all this shit.
I would. Yeah.
And you know,
that's where you find
it's me also
like pissing and shitting myself and refusing to leave until my husband's involved.
Yeah.
And I don't piss and shit myself because I'm scared. It's because then no one's going to want to be around me.
Yeah. It's a defense mechanism.
Because I'm throwing my shit.
At what point do you just eat the baseball?
I just eat it.
That is a great idea, actually.
I put that baseball right up my ass.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I just sit down and I cross my legs and be like,
take it.
Come and take it.
The ball is in your court, sir. That's what I would do.
And then they Shakespeare it back at you and go, no, I think it's in your court.
No, it's definitely in your court. Speaking of Shakespeare.
No, it's in your court.
I watched last night.
No, you hang up first.
I watched last night. I watched Shakespeare in Love.
Love. I think here and there. Is that the one with Drew Barrymore?
No.
It's
Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, then.
And I don't know if you Joe Fasia, Drew Barrymore, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, I didn't. No, there's another.
Are you thinking of 50 First Dates?
No. Yeah, the movie where Gwyneth Paltrow trains a seal. That's and David Spade plays the movie for her every day.
David Spade. Nice pull.
Captain Barbosa is in this.
What's fun is the number of people who automatically assume I didn't know it was Adam Sandler in 50 First Dates.
No, I don't know if I have seen Shakespeare in Love, honestly.
It's interesting. It's I don't want to go into much detail. I watched it because I'm going on Joel Winstead's
podcast
about the Best Picture winners.
Yeah.
And the winner was. And I asked to be, I wanted to do a movie from the 90s. And he showed me like that. Well, here's all the options. And here's who I already have for these ones. And I was like, I didn't want Shakespeare in Love. But it was available. I was like, you know what? I'll fall on my sword and watch Shakespeare in Love. And I have thoughts. I should have even brought it up. But you said Shakespeare.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't
Ever After, don't, by the way, was the movie I was thinking of.
You're thinking of Ever After.
Yeah.
Not Shakespeare, which is not Shakespeare.
No, it's absolutely not. Not even close. Might be the same sport. Definitely wrong ballpark.
See, whenever you said that, I thought you were talking about... Romeo plus Juliet. From 96, like the Romeo and Juliet in Los Angeles with
Claire
guns.
Danes and
oh my god, Paul Rudd was in this.
Absolutely in it.
I erased a lot
was
of
he,
this
was
movie.
He
John Leguizamo was in
he
this.
Wasn't Paul Rudd wasn't Mercutio. That was
no, he was Dave Paris.
Mercutio was Dave Paris. He was the dude from Lost.
Yes.
Walt!
Walt! Let's see, who else
that is guy from Lost?
Harold Perrineau?
Harold Perrineau, yes.
Sure. Let's see. The Italian mob boss and literally everything. Sorvino?
Paul Sorvino. He played... He was
in like Goodfellas and
he was in Goodfellas. Yeah.
Presumably other things as well. But what a fascinating. I very hesitantly would call it good. It's a very fascinating spin on Shakespeare.
It was certainly a movie that I watched in English class.
It was a movie that I watched in English class. That is exactly right.
Mac watched it in English class, too. It's still a thing they watch in English class.
That's a universal truth.
Are they still real weird about Claire Danes' boobs?
I have no idea.
Presumably.
I know I've never been really weird about them, so I couldn't tell you.
Are they just boobs?
It's,
you know.
And Claire Danes.
Not, I mean, not that, not that they're not worth getting excited for. they all are.
They're like bags of sand. Oh shit. No, the
nothing I love more than a fucking bag of sand.
Love a good bag of sand.
Oh god.
Rob, remember me telling you that we had those tech problems, and then I found my brand's website, and they had like a software driver
program. Sure, like a driver update. Yeah.
And it just sits on your computer, and it just automatically, when there's an update, it lets you know, hey, do you want to update your mic? Because we have an update. And sure. When I put that on my computer, I was like, man, I'm stoked because this solved the problem. And there was an update. I was like, fuck yeah. I was right. I did something on my computer.
You did the thing.
On my own, and I did it. The update was just to change the my mic does like a color thing.
Sure.
And it changes colors now.
Hey.
Just on its own. That was the update.
You love to see
it. Nice. It used to be a thing where if it's on mute, it's red. If it's hot, it's green. And the different settings for the mic were different colors.
Sure. Now you've got the full like
now it just
turbo gamer. Yeah. The
colors.
Like yeah. Unicorn vomit.
So microphone. I don't know if I actually fixed it or if it just started working.
Well, I like to think that the much like the orcs in 40K's various colors power things in various and unique ways.
Wah.
And with the wah energy. Exactly. So. Yeah, just the right application of colors turns out solves the problem.
Sometimes I like it when I say something like that, and I could see the twinkle in Rob's eye. Where he's like, hey,
yeah,
he knew about wah energy.
Wah.
He, wah. Like, I
Mr. Just, Bond.
You guys who can't see him didn't see him go like it. It was a subtle shift in the eyes. That's mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. And it was just me. It was him telling me. I heard it, and I appreciate you.
I've seen it. I
didn't see it.
Game recognized game.
Didn't see it coming, but there it was.
Fantastic.
I haven't played 40K ever. I know you keep trying to get me into it.
I would love to drag you guys into it. This week I was actually lucky enough to get some time to visit my friendly local game store and have been working on assembling my 40K army, which is just a giant stompy chaos robots, which
nice. Is
possibly the most on-brand thing I think available for me. And I have started magnetizing some of these things so I could switch out the different weapon kits. And it's the first
time
I've done that. And I feel like I did it fairly successfully. I learned a lot in my adventure in doing that, some things that I would do differently next time. But and there will be at least two more next times, given the number of kits that I've got laying around here. So. So yeah, no, I'm pretty excited about that. I would love to drag you guys kicking and screaming, even if it wasn't into 40K, like the old world, if you guys were interested in doing like old orcs and goblins and Bretonnia, or if you wanted to try your hand at Age of Sigmar with some of like the crazy gods and monsters, they're fucking fantastic. Highly recommend.
You said like a chaos robot stompers. Is that what you said? What was your actual phrase there?
So the faction that I play is called Chaos Knights, and they are they're like giant mecha, like 40K mecha robots, just effectively like walking gun platforms. But these ones are chaos, so they're infused with like
sure.
demons and corn. And yeah, exactly. Pick your Sneech. Demon faction. Yeah, Zinch Sneech.
Sneech.
Yeah, I love that.
It was always it was easier for me to say it.
I like it.
What's the other ones like a gobble ghoul?
Nurgle. Nurgle.
I'm thinking of Nurgle. That's what it
is. Oh, Nurgle. Yeah.
Nurgle. And then
Slaanesh.
Yeah. Okay. I was wanting to see if you guys could truly butcher that one, but you nailed that. So
Slaanesh.
Slaanushi.
That's what if Poe the panda.
Slaanesh.
Thanks, I hate it.
is my boy, Slanoosh.
Slanoosh. Hey, Slanoosh.
I did.
We sit, we eat boiled sausages and pickled feet.
Refs. I did recently pick up some old Beastmen boxes to get prepared for the their return to the old world. So if you guys want to break out some of your archaic fucking Warhammer models.
I still got all my Warhammer stuff. I didn't.
I don't know if you have it, Rob. Oh, you have mine. Okay.
I have all your stuff laying around. Full Dark Elves. I have a full Bretonnian. I have a full Empire and a full Wood Elves and a full Orcs and Goblins.
Yeah. If you've got it all laying around, it is making a comeback. We should have Josie and Amy paint all of them.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Actually, would be.
It, you know,
good time would be had by all.
Yeah, good you time would be had by all. It doesn't matter.
You could pay him a dime per figure.
Sure. Yeah, here's my
like the good old days.
600 model gore herd for beast men. It's just all chaff goats. As horde of an army as I could possibly muster, I will pay you Denson's model. Let's go. I don't think I'm going to find a better raid anywhere else. I couldn't pay somebody that cheap to try and paint an army.
True.
Wish I was good at it. Because if I was, that's all I would offer those services.
Here's the thing. If you get that many models, by the time that you get to your last model, you'll be at least all right at painting. Or at least you'll have gotten the system down.
It's why I did... Bretonnia, when I switched from Dark Elves to Bretonnia, when I actually picked the army I wanted instead of the army I was told I wanted.
Sure.
Part of the reason why is because I could paint each individual one however I wanted. I could do whatever heraldry I wanted. I could literally have it. I can have a line of cavalry and they're all completely different. And so it would allow me to, like, if I messed up on the color scheme, I'd just be like, oh, well, that's just a new knight.
Yeah, that's just their color scheme.
Moving
on.
Yeah.
Nice.
I really do love that about Bretonnia specifically, like having been like slowly getting more and more back into the old world. Like, I think that that's one of the things that like makes like trying to get into like painting your first army. I think it's really friendly for that like first army, because like you said, like you could just make a bunch of different knights. It doesn't necessarily have to be perfectly uniform, or it can be as uniform as you try it to like try to make it. And if you fuck up some, like, oh, this guy just gets a name now.
Yep.
Like, yeah, this guy's different. He gets a name. Cool.
And
we'll give him the banner, I guess.
And that was my favorite part about Bretonnia. It was besides the heavy, like Arthurian fucking hand that is laid upon them, and that being alluring to me, just it was the painting. And then right when I started painting them, we stopped playing, and it was like, well, I'm not going to invest any more time in this. So
only for 20 years later, and you're going to make a strong comeback here so you can start playing with me.
I know maybe I'll get it out and see what I have and see what I could do.
Well, we should do something like that.
Yeah, I'll pull it all out.
Raising.
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What are you geeking on this week, man?
Oh, it would have to be the eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I know that we didn't get totality, but I wasn't expecting totality where I'm at. I going into it, I was like 93%. I can't wait to see what that looks like where we're at. Like, I don't know. Right. It's the second eclipse I remember being in. But I wasn't like tuned in to what all an eclipse entailed last year or 7 years ago when we had the last one. And so I was really pumped for it. And we were supposed to have a cloudy day, so I didn't have glasses. And then it ended up being a beautiful, clear day. And so I had to scramble for glasses and got a pair, like literally as it was starting. I just really enjoyed it. I had a great time. I can't wait to find a place to witness totality before it hits the continental US again in 20 years.
Did you guys see the story of the science teacher who, like, in 1984 told his science class, like, hey, in 2024, it's going to be right over our town. You guys should come, like, come and we'll watch it together.
No, but that's awesome.
He told every class that since, like, 1984, and he planned for it and thought maybe some kids would show up. He had like 300 people show up.
Hell yeah.
Past nice. Students with their families. It's a cool little video, and it was actually really awesome. It was on a Instagram, or it was on Twitter or something. It was like good girl, your good news, Jenny or something. Nice. A girl who shares, like,
oh yeah, she's the TikTok. She does the one
a day.
Good news. Good news story a day.
That's where I saw it. And it was cute as hell. You could tell he was like, Michael Jennings. Oh my God. You're still alive. And then kids brought their yearbooks and then there was a picture of just a bunch of bag chairs and
barbecue. Oh, nice. He's the science teacher from Stranger Things.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say he's like thin, sane Glenn Beck, but that wasn't as nice a compliment.
Oh, so you're looking at a picture of him. Yeah.
No, yeah. Right. I found it right away.
Insane Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck before he was a grifting prepper.
Yeah.
No,
that's so cool. That's awesome.
The eclipse was really neat here.
His last name was Moriarty. I hope he had a kid.
God, that's awesome.
I hope there was like a Sherlock in his class.
Like his dog.
Yeah.
He probably had a dog named,
in his class too.
He probably had a dog named Mycroft.
Honestly, if my last name was Moriarty, you bet your fucking
sweet. My whole life would be entirely about Holmes or entirely not.
Yeah.
Those would be the two choices.
People would be like, oh, so you're Sherlock Holmes fan? And you'd be like, no, and get the fuck out of here.
And I'll see you in hell.
And then they're like, oh, I see. I get it. Oh. Moriarty, right? You don't like him. And okay. He's like, all right.
And he's like, no, just get the fuck out of here. The eclipse.
Anyway,
you are right. The eclipse was very cool.
Yeah.
It was odd because it didn't get dark.
Yeah.
But it got different.
You guys got like 99%, right?
Yeah.
And
And the difference between 99 and 100 apparently is fucking startling.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it'd be that startling, which is why I made note. I was like, we're 99% totality. I don't know why I need to travel an hour south from where I am when I could just take my driveway. Kind of wish I would have. But it was cool to experience anyway. And it was weird how cold it got. It got cold.
Yeah,
very quickly.
There was enough of a difference between 93 and 99 that I wish I'd driven down to you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to figure out where the next one is. Australia, yeah.
The next one is in Reykjavik in 2026.
Fucking okay. Sign me up. Eclipse, eclipse, Iceland. And then the fucking, and then some like some of that stinky fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or Stroming or whatever.
And then like a reindeer steak, a sauna, and a jump in the ice cold water.
Yeah. And then like you give me a reindeer steak, hot spring, some sort of this beer was made with glacier water. Mm-hmm. And then a naked dive into the fucking into a fjord somewhere.
And then like a handful of wild shrooms. And the Aurora Borealis. Yeah.
Think of your day that starts with coffee in Iceland, full solar eclipse, and then ends with a handful of shrooms and the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah. That sounds pretty perfect.
Boy.
Sounds horrible.
God damn.
I'll take two.
Yeah,
I bet you wake up
looking at.
Yeah, let's book the Airbnb right now.
fuck it, we don't need an Airbnb. Let's get like some tents,
like a yurt.
Yeah, like
Airbnb yurt.
We do not need a tent for or like an Airbnb for that. We'll be fine.
Oh, and I would be. I can just. I'm closing my eyes. I'm picturing just the coolest sweater that I'm wearing.
Oh yeah,
cable knit Probably cream. Yep.
The thing of beauty.
With a big neck. It's got like a big, thick turtle. Yeah. Like a big, big.
Like a shy halude.
Yeah. Turtle. Yeah, I'm like God Emperor of Dune.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just, yeah. You got like the worm skin. Sweater. The worm skin neck.
I would buy that. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
That's funny.
Rob, let's pivot to you because I know Ryan wants to finish us out.
So I have been geeking on, Dragon's Dogma here lately. It is, I think I was talking a little bit about it last week. I have been diving further into it, and it just continues to be a terrific, like, just fantasy RPG experience. I have started dipping into a bit of like an illusionist, like support and tricksy class, which has been a fascinating pivot, rather than playing like the primary striker for my team. But yeah, it's been great. Fighting big monsters, exploring the world, incidentally fucking up and failing quest and getting innumerable amounts of children and innocents killed because I got lost and went the wrong direction on the map. It's a perfect game as far as I'm concerned.
Nice.
Yeah. Ryan, what about you?
Okay. I love Dropout TV. I love almost all their content. I share a lot of it with my family and kids. We watch a lot of like Make Some Noise and Game Changer. And Vic Michaelis is very important people. We watch all those together. The one I save for me is Dimension 20. And because no one else wants to listen to or watch the live, watch other people play D&D. And I never thought I would. And I've talked about their one campaign, Unsleeping City, on this show before. And I finished it. It took me from beginning of December until about 3 weeks ago to finish 20 episodes of 2 hours a piece. I watch them in like 15, 20 minute snippets. Anyway, I moved on to Fantasy High, which their first season, it's freshman. And it answers the question, what if John Hughes and D&D met?
Nice.
And okay. I think, Nick, because I'm talking directly to you now, that this show is something you've never watched before. I know you love D&D and I know you love John Hughes movies. It's the best improv actors you've ever seen doing a thing they're really good at with great storytelling. And if you've watched enough 80s movies and if you watch enough John Hughes movies, you understand the conceit right away and you can see where it's going before it gets there. And the characters are relatable and the characters are archetypes because that's what archetypes are. And there's a reason that's what they are. And it's just, I think it would bring large amounts of joy to your life. So Nick, my offer to you is I will pay for your first month to have total unfettered access to everything on Dropout TV. It's an app you put on your phone. It Chromecasts right to your big screen. If you don't want to watch it on your phone, I will pay for your first month. And all you have to do in return is watch the first 1 hour and 20 minute episode of Dimension 20's Fantasy High freshman year. You never owe me the money back, whether you like it or not. I think it would bring a large amount of joy to your life.
Is that the show in which one of the characters that Brendan Lee Mulligan plays is a halfling postal worker?
I believe so.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent.
So I know
that puts it in the cosmology of my understanding of things.
He currently one of the characters he plays, because he plays all NPCs.
Sure.
Right. He is the dungeon master, but one of them who has played a big role in this one so far is Vice Principal Golden Horde, who is a dragonborn. And just the name is so perfect. And all these names are the characters are great. There's times where the players definitely catch Brennan off guard with what they do. He's a great DM, though. He adapts really fast, still gets the story where he wants it to go, and gives these guys really total freedom to do what they need to do in the interim. And I honestly, Nick, I just think that you would watch it and you would be pleasantly surprised with the outcome. And I think you'd find yourself watching it more. I watch it like the video. A lot of times when I'm by myself, like in the hot tub, as what I, my entertainment for while I'm out there. But like today I just listened to it. It's just, I didn't need to see them, to get the, so you could use it as a podcast or an audiobook. You could fill that windshield time. And Nick, like I said, I'm speaking directly to you because I know you listen. Bring joy into your life for me. I think you'll like it. And so that's what I'm geeking on this week. Is I am moving on to yet another Dimension 20 listen along adventure. And I would like it to get to the point where Nick was so into it that he would join me in New York City, Madison Square Garden, next January, for them to do a live one shot with the Unsleeping City cast. That's where I think it could go if you, if Nick, if you gave it a shot. I could see you being there.
I believe in him. I believe in you.
Anyway, that was our banter episode for the month. If you liked what you you heard and you want to hear more of it, the best thing you could do is go to where you listen to podcasts. Give our podcast 5 stars. Tell us if, I don't know, what you would do in Iceland.
And if you want to tell us why you've never seen a purple orc, you can do so on any of the social medias at Geekcast Live. And you can also check out the website that I made at violentpress.com.
Is that one of those, is purple orc like type of like searching for like blue waffle?
No. You can't see purple orcs because purple orcs are invisible, because who's ever seen a purple orc?
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's just like
red makes
you, you know, faster. You know that elephants paint their toenails red to hide in cherry trees.
What?
Yeah. You ever seen an elephant hiding in a cherry tree?
Yeah. I haven't.
See how good they are?
Yeah.
Classic.
Okay.
Set them up, knock them down. If you want to finance our trip to Iceland, you can do so over at patreon.com/geekcastlive, or head over to gcl.threadless.com and buy a t-shirt that says, I bought this t-shirt to send my guys to Iceland.
It's gcl.threadless.com.
Is that gcl.threadless.com?
.com. Sure is.
Mm. Love one another.
Call your grandparents.
Wah, Mr. Bond.
We'll see you in hell. Where OJ is.
Hey, everybody. As always, we want to take a minute at the end of this monstrosity to thank all of those amazing people that do help make this thing run. We can't do it without you. We do it for you, as a matter of fact. We've got Dwag Riflux. We've got, of course, World Star. We've got a lot of Artova, Danger Johnson, Big Time Timmy Jim, Slughaven Kapitsky. I think the third. That's right. David Dave Jeep Duck of the Mississippi Jeep Ducks. Big Wad, Hardy Doug the Handyman, Channing Tatum, new this year, Flat Stanley, Zip Plorg, the K Man. Three finger Emily, she's 4 finger Emily this year. Just nice to see. And anybody that I'm forgetting or left out, write in. We'll tag you later. We love you and thanks. Check this.